Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
So we did find out yesterday, Stephen Kwan going on the IL. And I was so blinded by my fury that Miles Straw was back. I totally forgot to have the conversation about Stephen Kwan, and I think it's really interesting. One, that I think the expectation is that they could get Stephen back by next Tuesday, which would make sense because I think that's exactly 10 days because they placed him on the IL yesterday, retroactive to the 14th. But I still don't know. This is one of those things where, one, I think that's what people expect. That doesn't mean it's going to be the reality. And I think the other thing is, can he count on Stephen Kwan to get back to being even 80 or 90% of the player that he was several months ago? Because I think that is the kind of thing that can I don't want to say mess with, that can impact your ceiling to a specific degree. Josh Naylor has not been very good or consistent in the second half of the season, which is fine. Like, he is the run-producing guy. There's a part of everyone that says, as long as he's, you know, swinging for the fences and hitting dingers and driving in runs, you're going to live with a 240 average. Totally get that. At the same point, you can have him be a non-entity in multiple games if Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez continue to stick to who they are. And I think, do I think that some of Stephen Kwan, that his just absolute putrid play the last 7 weeks, do I think some of that is, quite frankly, the guy's been banged up? Sure. There are approach issues. And listen, there can be an Ouroboros effect that one thing impacts the other thing. I would not be surprised if swinging for the fences and the approach stuff, probably on top of the hamstring injury early in the season, if that exacerbated his issues, and then all of a sudden he stopped going the other way because of the health. I don't think, you'll notice a theme in today's show. I don't think it's just one thing. But him coming back sounds great. But me not knowing, and this is rare with Steven. Last year, he was merely good. 2 years ago, he was electric. Earlier this year, he was the best iteration of Stephen Kwan we'd ever seen. And by the way, if you look at things like WRC+, by like a significant margin, he was borderline unplayable at points from really, I don't even want to say the All-Star break. It was really in August and the start of this month. You can get by with 70% of Stephen Kwan atop your lineup. You can. You might be able to get by with 60%. Of that production from Stephen Kwan. You weren't even getting that. So I think it's the biggest thing you have to look for over the next, if he comes back the final week of the season, is just, does he look anything close to Stephen Kwan? Because what happens, and I think we can have the same conversation about a pitcher that we're going to get to in just a second here. What happens is, you know, players are such creatures of habit, and you just never know when the pressure angle of this starts to become bigger than any physical injury that you have or approach issue. So I don't think it's just been, well, he's hurt and his approach has not been what it was earlier in the season. Or that his approach became too power happy. I think it also at this point could be confidence. And I do think that some of this with Josh Naylor has been a little bit of health and a little bit of confidence and a little bit of approach. So I'm hopeful that Stephen Kwan can come back and be the guy. It doesn't even have to be the guy that he was earlier in the year, but if he is, you're going to win the World Series. If Stephen Kwan's a guy is capable of hitting 400 with Hosey being Hosey, because that's going to take a little pressure off Hosey, with getting that sporadic production out of the John Kenseys and the Angel Martinez's, oh, you got Lane Thomas, who's really started to produce recently, at least in the month of September. Like that recipe, the better Stephen is, the easier the recipe is to find to go out there and win multiple different kinds of series. 70%, 75% of Stephen, well, they're going to take that. Now all of a sudden there's got to be somebody picking up that production elsewhere in the lineup, in a lineup of guys that I don't think are ready to do that full time. And now, again, it's short time because you're in the playoffs, but I just think, like, I have no idea how this has not been the number one talking point on, I don't think I saw any analysis on any of the big websites. I don't think I've heard it much talked about on the station. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just being honest. Like, it floored me how, when is he coming back? Again, could be next week. What is he going to be when he comes back? How much of this should inform our opinion of how he's played? Is this now a confidence thing? It has floored me that these have not been the main things I've heard the last 24 hours. In fairness, I spent yesterday in the 6 o'clock hour bitching about Miles Straw instead of talking about the injury. So I promise you, I'm pointing this weapon as much at myself as anybody else. And by the way, guys, myself and Spencer German cover everything from Ohio State to the biggest college football stories around the nation during the latest Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Again, follow Sons of the Shoe. But while we're talking about Stephen Kwan, I will say, I am super empathetic to Gavin Williams' struggles here over the last couple months. And I think it's been interesting, my own personal internal meter about the importance of him to the Guardians playoff run. But last night, and I don't think Gavin was, it's not like the Dodgers game where he had to be pulled after, I don't think he made it through a full inning, where he was like unpitchable. But last night, it's apparent Gavin Williams is still not the guy that he was last year. And after the game, after giving up two earned, and I think he had 7 or 8 base runners in 5 innings, he talked about trying to find his new flow following the injury.
It's been difficult, especially coming off of last year. I mean, getting hurt too, it's kind of messed up a lot of things. I was in Arizona for a little bit, then came back here, so just trying to figure that stuff out.
So I'm really torn on the question I'm going to ask you. But I am curious whether you guys, after the latest round of a acceptable but not high-level start from Gavin Williams, whether he's pitched his way on the auspices of the Guardians postseason rotation. Because one of the things we talked about, the last time we talked about this, I think, was a week ago with Fedor. And I said, you know, the first guy I'd throw out there is Alex Cobb, because he has experience, and like a lot of experience in the postseason. So if he's healthy enough to pitch, I want him in that first game of the ALDS, because I trust him in that moment to set the tone, because you don't have a true ace right now. You've got guys who are your best pitchers, but you don't have a true ace. So if you don't have a guy who's pitching like an ace, the next best thing you can do is a guy who has been that guy, who understands what that role is. I think that's Alex Cobb. And I think we might get a rehab assignment from him before he comes back. But, like, to me, that's who it is. I'm a little resigned to the fact that I think it's going to be Tanner Bibee. But however you roll those two guys out, one of those two guys should start the first game. The other guy should start the second game. If you asked me a week ago, when we had this conversation, about 8 days ago, we still had enough runway for me to think that Gavin Williams should be that third starter. And why? I don't really care about the struggles early in the season. If he can get it righted, he has the best stuff of any starter. And stuff usually translates, swing and miss stuff, overpowering stuff usually translates to whether you're going to be able to win in the postseason as a starter. It also, I mean, it translates obviously in other ways too, including out of the bullpen. The more swing and the miss, the better in baseball today. But Gavin Williams has the best pure stuff out of anybody. After last night, and again, it wasn't his worst performance, I think we might have to open up the idea. I don't know it's going to be Boyd, by the way. Yeah, Boyd. I think it's going to be a no Boyd for me because I think you're starting to see the bloom come off the rose right now. He had the short start this last time, two starts ago. The stats don't look bad until you get into like how many base runners he's allowing. I don't know, a soft-tossing lefty should be your third guy in your rotation. But I do think it's a legit conversation between Ben Lively and Gavin Williams. And the one thing that I've continued to come back to is, when it comes to Gavin Williams, because of that overpowering stuff, if you're not 100% sure before you get to the postseason, is it better to have him in a start? And guys, the start, the first inning to two innings of playoff games are excruciating if you were new to starting in postseason baseball. It's probably even more excruciating if you're not all the way back to where you were. And he's not. Whether this is now him tipping his pitches and trying to figure out how to not do that anymore, whether this is whether it's just he's not 100% because he wasn't 100% coming off the IL, whatever it is, Gavin isn't the best version of himself. So when we already start to consider, all right, so it's not an innings issue, but it is pitching this late in the season, the weather's going to dip a bit, there's a big part of me that doesn't know, that really is questioned whether the best thing for Gavin Williams is instead of starting the game, he becomes the guy that is your bridge guy. I don't say your long reliever, but as a guy who on any given night can give you 2 to 3 innings a night of pure dominant stuff. It might be better to have like a Ben Lively open the game for one pass through the lineup and then kick it over the kid. Because I think the downside is my biggest fear of all. That if you put Gavin Williams out there, the playoffs can ruin kids and ruin young pitchers especially because you're not used to pitching in that environment. You're not used to pitching that late in the season. There's a myriad of other things that can go on here. So while part of me is hopeful and saying, you know what? Sometimes the lights get a little brighter and certain guys can just switch. They flip the switch and they're a different guy. Randy Arozarena, kind of averagest major league player in the regular season. The guy is a rock star in the postseason. Garcia in Texas last year. Lights got brighter. He just turned it on and he was a different guy, right? Really nice player in the regular season. Even better in the postseason. I hope that can be the case with Gavin. I don't know you can bank on it if you're the Guardians. 216-474-0092. Has Gavin Williams...
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pitched himself out of the Guardians starting rotation. Some of that might sound like criticism to you. It's not my intention. It is just to what we're observing with the Guardians as we start to get you ready for the postseason coming up. May I just say thank you to the Cleveland Guardians, because the Guardians this year, not only have they been the most fun team in town to talk about, to cover, to get ready for, right? Not only is that the case, not only are they seemingly 26 swell fellas led by another swell fella in Stephen Vogt, not only do they have a chance to win the first World Series since 1948, and I still think, like, if you look around baseball, there's a path here. There really is, because Baltimore's not playing great baseball. Houston is playing better baseball, but even they've tapered off a little bit from where they were red hot in August. The Yankees are still the Yankees in the postseason until proven otherwise. The path to the World Series is there. I don't know that I really want to get to the World Series just to face the 197-win Dodgers. That's not really how many. They're just the super team. They're just the elite of all the elites. It would be sweet if they beat them. Oh, my God. Beating the Dodgers in the World Series, beating the Evil Empire in the World Series. You guys think I'm Randy today? Just wait to see if they beat the biggest market team spending $400 million on a team. I digress. I do have to thank the Cleveland Guardians for doing something essential to my happiness on this planet, which is helping me win a bet over Daryl Ryder, one of my close friends on this planet, so that he would have to buy me a burger. And that I now can, I mean, guys, you think I've lorded it over him this summer? You think I've lorded it over him today and yesterday? This will be a cultural touchstone moment in the station history for as long as Daryl and I work at this station. So thank you to the Guardians for making all the many haters. I believed in this Guardians team. I said they can win the Central. I believed that. I didn't have them on pace to win 115 games for half the season. They're not there now. They're probably going to be a 92, 93 win team. But I believed in them, and they rewarded me by helping me shove you-know-what in Daryl's face. It is nice. We appreciate that. Go Guards. Spank them 20s tonight. We will get back to the Guardians talk as well. But I do think, I thought this came up yesterday when we talked with Jason. It's so funny to hear this depiction of me as a Deshaun apologist, when really all I'm doing is pushing back on what I think is extremist mentality towards Deshaun. I'm not trying to polish anything. I'm not trying to make you feel better. I'm not trying to be a homer. But I think the way we have talked about Deshaun is massively skewed to a point that when he does something well, it is over-explained and distilled down to, well, it's really not that impressive. And when he does anything poorly, it is blown up to, it's the worst performance we've ever seen. Now, in fairness, the Dallas game was the worst game I've seen Deshaun play in Cleveland. That is saying something. But it's wild to me how so many people want to rush to this judgment on Deshaun as if it's going to change the next 3 months anyways. I don't see a value in saying, well, he sucks. He's not good enough yet, so he never will be good enough. So I guess we should just go ahead and shut down the season. I don't get that. And I especially don't get it off the Jacksonville game. If you're doubtful that he'll ever be that guy again, totally get it. I can't really fight you on it. I think it's premature. I think it's 14 games. I think we're all in our little feelings a little bit about this. I totally get that. Because it's not just as simple as about bad football. It's about bad juju. It's about bad vibes since it's been here. It's about an organization making decisions that still aren't commensurate with the Baltimores and the Pittsburghs and the elite, the 49ers, the elite organizations in football. I totally get it. But I'm also not going to just do it because everybody's doing it. I think the easiest thing is whenever you come out, whenever Deshaun says anything, does anything, you just tee off on him. And at that point, that is a version of homerism. This idea of, because basically it's just pandering. And I'm not saying Jason's doing this, but do I think there are people who have different opinions on Deshaun who aren't espousing them right now because it's not good for them, because they don't want somebody on social media be mad at them? I 100% do. There is the big picture with Deshaun, which is overwhelming. Totally get it. But there is the day-to-day, week-to-week with Deshaun. It doesn't get better overnight. But I, like, for instance, I heard Deshaun today. He was asked about, you know, if there's the definition of elite quarterbacks has changed. And I actually think there's like a nuanced kind of thoughtfulness to this answer.
I think that's more opinionated than anything. Yeah, you can get kind of, you know, wound away with stats and things, but there are a lot of great quarterbacks out there that might not have the stats that certain guys do, but they win games. You know, and I think in this league, it's about winning games. You want to get to that ultimate championship. 2020, I had the best, you know, I think A-Rod and Pat was like the top three quarterbacks in the league, but my team was 4-12. So, you know, those stats really didn't matter because we didn't win any games. So, like I said, my mentality as far as that, you know, off the field stuff and just coming down to stats, like, it's about winning games in this league. And you have to win games to get those opportunities to play in the playoffs. And then that's when you can, you know, have the opportunity to go get the ultimate goal. And that's that Super Bowl ring. And that's what every team is chasing.
So Deshaun is dangerously close to having the quarterback wins argument thrown in his face. But I do think, like, listen, it has not been enough that Deshaun has won games since he's been here. In 14 games, I want to say he's like 9-5, something like that, somewhere in that range. Like, we can both agree that only matters so much when the stats don't tell a good story, right? At the same point, I saw people jumping on this answer about, well, you better have good stats. Every time, like, listen, the boss man quote, not Deshaun's best moment. That was, again, it was an attempt at, I think, levity. I think it was an attempt at relating, but it still wasn't a good look. But not everything that Deshaun says has to be teed off on. And I'll be honest with you, if you said right now your quarterback can pass for 300 yards a game or you can win, you're going to take winning. No matter how much you paid for him, no matter how much you traded for him, like, winning is the thing and should be the thing that cures all ills. And at some point, whether the stats look sexy or not, if you win a World Series with Deshaun, win a World Series, good God, different sport. If you win a Super Bowl with Deshaun, is anyone going to give a damn if his quarterback rating was 85? No. This thing is about winning. Now, it's no longer that for just Deshaun. Anything short of winning a Super Bowl is it, we are going to wage these two things and weigh those two things against each other, winning versus the actual play on the field and how it looks statistically and otherwise. But I thought it was wild to hear people jump on Deshaun and be like, no, you better play. Guys, the guy's saying he wants to win, and he doesn't care what the box score looks like. I don't think that's exactly a hot take for a Wednesday in September, no matter what other media jabronis try and paint and whatever outraged junkies are out there just trying to fuel the hatred of Deshaun or hatred of the Browns, no matter how well-placed or well-intended their thoughts and feelings might be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.